The last bracha before Shemona Esrei is the bracha that concludes Gaal Yisrael. It's very pointed, the idea of concluding the brachos of the Shema with Geula, a natural continuation of Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim, is a way of introducing Tefillah. So much so that Chachameinu, our rabbis, famously say, Eizehu ben Olam Haba, who's someone who is certainly worthy and will earn his or her place in Olam Haba. Now that would mean someone who is doing all the right things, someone who is really looking at life in all the right ways and living in all of the right ways. And the answer, stunningly, is Hasomech Geula L'Tefila. A person who's going to be destined to have Olam Haba is a person who is Somech, meaning who brings together the concluding bracha after Shema, Goal Yisrael, and then starts Tefila, starts the Shemona Esrei. The obvious question is, as nice as it is to daven and as important as it is to follow the pattern that Chachameinu prescribed, but what is the great achievement of Smichas Geula L'Tefila? It's apparently so big, and we need to understand why. Geula, redemption, is something we have experienced. It's something that was formative in our becoming the nation of Israel. It was because of redemption that we trusted in, recognized, and then aligned ourselves with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The allegiance of the Jewish people was, so to speak, earned, as he said in Yasserah Sedibrav, Sanochi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Hotzei Yisicho, Me'eretz Mitzrayim, Me'beis Avodim. So Geula is formative in our becoming a people, his people, in our trusting him, in our believing in him. And after all, who are you going to daven to? If now we are reaching the point where we are actually going to stand before the Almighty and address him directly. We're not talking about him. We're not describing, as we did in Pesukei Dezimra, his grandeur. We're not pledging and accepting the yoke of heavenly reign. We're not being mekabel ol malchus shemayim. We're not accepting all hamitzvos. In the second parsha of Shema, we are now going to be standing before him. We're going to be addressing him. There's no more effective way of framing why we come before him and the mindset with which we come before him than bitachon, than belief that we are his, he is ours, and whatever we need, whatever we desire spiritually, however we wish to evolve, whatever we need and must ask for humbly materially because we're flesh and blood, there is no other source but him. Geula was the proof, positive to us, that there is no other source for what we need but the Ribono Shel Olam. So it's about a sense of bitachon. When somebody says, Goal Yisrael, and says it today, we haven't experienced Geula yet. We're seeing, we hope, Reishis Tzimichas Geula Seinu. But when we say, we remember and we know that when we were taken from Mitzrayim, you took us as a nation, You took us to be your Am Segula, and you did that by redeeming us. We understand that the process of redemption is a process which will mean that we too are going to be redeemed, and we have full faith in you, HaKadosh Baruch. This idea of full faith is the reason why we start our Shemona Esrei after having said, Baruch Atah Hashem Goal Yisrael. Now, if somebody lives with that kind of bitachon, with that kind of emunah, so there are a lot of things that go right. There are a lot of things that that person pretty much gets straight in life. Now, a lot of problems, if not the majority of them in our lives, happen when we do not have a sense of faith. If a person thinks that he or she is all on their own, if a person thinks that he or she has to get it straight by themselves, and that everything that they have to achieve is their own personal responsibility, and that if it's going to go well, it's going to go well because of something that they do. And if it doesn't go well, it's going to go well because of something, or doesn't go well because of something they didn't do, or something that somebody else did to disrupt what they were doing that was good. Somebody else did something that disrupted it, so it became not something that's not so good. If we live believing that what we do is what's so important, and that, you know, we have our destiny in our own hands on a minute-to-minute basis, that everything that will happen to us is based upon what we are in control of, and that we are in control of our destiny, we're in very big trouble. We're going to find ourselves very frustrated. We're going to find ourselves very much at odds with other people, because what we want is not necessarily what they want. So we're going to be contentious. We're going to find ourselves in a state of battle and war on all issues, because we're never going to stop and say, I'm doing mine, and I believe that I'm doing what is correct. And then, Hashlech el Hashem Yehovcha, I say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm doing mine. I'm doing what's right and noble and fine and good. Please, you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Master of the Universe, do what's good and fine and right. Help me. And if you choose to help me in a particular way, I accept that that's how you have chosen to help. And if you have chosen to help or not help in a different way, I accept that's your decision. Such a person lives a life that makes a lot of sense, that does not make the person constantly feel he or she is solely responsible for the success that they hope for. They turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they live a much more peaceful existence. They live harmoniously with themselves, and they live much more harmoniously with others. All because they have a sense of being boteach b'Hashem, as opposed to misconceiving and believing that life is this constant struggle where they are on their own and battling for themselves, and therefore making all kinds of mistakes, miscalculations, misjudgments. Habotach b'Hashem, chesed yisov avenu. That somehow, when we live with a life of bitachon, we are better people, and we are graced with a certain modality that allows us to make decisions and live in a way that's much more constructive. So such a person accomplishes that when they live their Olam Hazeh, it's upstanding, it's noble, it's with this bitachon, it's with emunah in Hashem. It's not with all the mistakes, bein adam lamakom, bein adam lachavero, that otherwise thrashing about without bitachon leads to. and they're much better off. And they earn their olam haba. You know, when somebody, chas v'shalom, doesn't know how to swim and ends up accidentally overboard, one of the natural reactions when someone tries to save that person, you know what the natural reaction in many, many, many instances is? To fight off the person who's trying to save you. And one of the important areas of training for lifesavers is actually how to subdue the thrashing would-be drowning individual. This person could and would absolutely drown. And in the person's panic, they're thrashing about. So, even fighting off the lifeguard, the lifesaver. And one of the important parts of training is to subdue that. You have to trust that the Ribono Shel Olam is going to make sure you're not going to drown. You have to believe that the big ocean in life might be that big. You'll need some help once in a while. Don't fight him off. Don't thrash him out. Because if you fight him off and thrash him out, you might drown. But if you trust him, then he'll convey you, he'll bring you safely to the other side, to Olam Haba. So therefore, Ezehu ben Olam Haba, hasomech ge'ula l'tefila. Because by being somech ge'ula l'tefila, you are starting your tefila with the introductory concept of, I'm completely reliant upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I have full bitachon in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why I stand before you. So when we say Gaal Yisrael, we should think in those terms and prepare ourselves to stand before the Goel, who amazingly, with miracles, with Nisim and Niflos, saved us, took us, and created a nation out of us. So that's the importance of Smichas Geula Netzvila. Who composed our tefillah, our Shemona Esrei? Gemara says, Mea ve'esrim zekenim. So we now know that we're talking about the Anshei Knesset HaGdola, the men of the Great Assembly who formed the leadership of the Jewish people when we returned after Golas Bavel. Uvahem, the Gemara continues, Uvahem kama nevim. Amongst them, there were numerous prophets, nevim, because they were still alive at that time in the formation of the Anshei Knesset HaGdola. Among them were the last of those graced with prophecy. They are the ones who were Metake, Shemona Esrei, Brachos, Al HaSeder. Tiknu Shemona Esrei, Brachos, Al HaSeder means they instituted these specific 18 Brachos, Al HaSeder, in order. It's very important that they go in a particular order. But it's also mentioned that there were Nevi'im amongst them. So that means that they had a certain Holy Spirit, that they had a Nevuah, they had prophecy that informed their decision as to what each bracha contains and what order the brachos should be in. There are a number of fascinating points to be made, which we will make later on as we study the brachos, in explanation of why they chose the order they did. And furthermore, there are so many instances of obvious prophetic wisdom that they understood that which will eventually unfold as we approach the Geula will require the following matters to be addressed in the following order. And that could not have come to them but with Nevuah. because they understood and foresaw the process we today are living through. So therefore, the words, while they do differ somewhat from minhag to minhag, Sfard, Ashkenaz, as an example, Tayman, the basic pattern is consistent throughout Klal Yisrael. There are some small differences, but the basic pattern of what's said in each bracha is consistent and has been for all of the generations since Anshe Knesset HaGdola were metaken this tefillah, which of course is well over 2,000 years ago.
So Ezra only wrote down what are the orally, no?
Ezra lived before the Anshe Knesset HaGdola. So Ezra was not metaken these 18 brachas. 18 brachas of Shmoneh Esrei came at the period of time of Anshe Knesset HaGdola, which was later. There's a 19th bracha.
Yeah.
There's a 19th bracha which had to be added because of the challenges of the Minim, the challenges of those who, you know, said they are Jews or said that they are the new Jews, said that the Jewish nation has to embrace and believe in other prophets, the Minim, as we call them. And they were not only Christians, but all kinds of other groups and sects that were not interested in remaining, like the Prushim were, totally honest with affinity to the Torah and to Torah Shebal Peh. So when it became necessary, later, after the destruction of Bayis Sheni, when it became necessary to really combat those forces, the 19th bracha of V'la Malshinim Al Tihi Sikva was added. We continue, however, to call the Tefillah Shmona Esrei. We don't call it Tisha Esrei. We call it the Shmona Esrei. And the reason we do that is primarily because that's how it was originally formulated. As 18 brachos that encompass and include all that's necessary for us as individuals and as a nation to express. So much so that perhaps in the time to come, when sectarianism and the opposition to true service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu properly will lapse, we won't have to say V'la Malshinim anymore. In other words, we look at V'la Malshinim as a temporary fix, and not as a necessary bracha. Now you have to say it. We must say V'la Malshinim. But we still regard it as something that was, let us call it, Horoas Shah. We just had to add it because we had no choice. But it's not an original bracha. And as we said before, it's not regarded with the same sense of reverence because it wasn't composed by the Anshe Knesset HaGdola. It wasn't composed by the men of the Great Assembly. It wasn't composed in an era when there were yet Kama Nevi'im, to quote Chachameinu, that there were still prophets. It was of a different nature altogether. Also, the idea of 18 brachos, Shmoneh Esrei brachos, has important connections to the fact that in Mizmor David, Havu Hashem B'nei Elim, it says Hashem's name 18 times. There are 18 hazkaros of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name in the Kriyas Shema. And we went from Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim and Kabbalas Ol HaMitzvos to Tefillah. Both are, so to speak, one on one side of a coin and then praying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who we have accepted on the other side of a coin, 18 and 18. There's another fascinating point being made by the Gemara about the number 18, and that is that there are 18 vertebrae. That there are these 18 sections to that part of the body that really is central to the human skeletal frame, meaning to what holds us up, to what keeps us together. Chulios HaShedra, 18. So, why is that important? Well, first of all, because when we come before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we give ourselves up to Him. We even, many have the minhag of bending and staying slightly bent forward, in a sense, expressing humility, from the beginning of Shemana Esrei till the end. So the Shedra expresses that. But it's more than that. The Pasuk says, Kol Atzmosai Toimarno Hashem Mi Kamocha. The Pasuk in Tehillim Lamed Hei. Kol Atzmosai Toimarno Hashem Mi Kamocha. Meaning, the Atzmius, the very essence of what we are. You know, the word Atzmot, bones, Etzem, comes from the fact that it's internal and it holds everything else up. We also now understand that the central nervous system, which controls everything in the body, is located and runs right through that spinal column. So that's the atzmius of man. All right, that's the nerve center of all of our lives and of everything that we do. Kol atzmosai, all of my essence, all of my bones, meaning all of my being. Toimarna will now announce and will pronounce and say, Hashem mi kamocha. So in expression of Kol Atzmosai Toimarna, we have a body that is totally given over to expressing the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we have with each of the Chulius HaShedra represented by a bracha, 18 brachos, corresponding to the 18 chulios HaShedra, to the 18 vertebrae. So the number 18, therefore, stuck. Even though we know it's really 19 brachos, but it's commonly referred to, certainly amongst Bnei Ashkenaz, as the Shemona Esrei. The expression, Amidah. Others call it the Amidah. The expression the Amidah, because it's recited necessarily standing up, that actually first appears in the writings of Rav Haigon. So the word Amidah is not a new idea. That's quite a long-standing tradition to refer to the Shemona Esrei as the Amidah. And the idea of standing, obviously, is because we're going to be representing ourselves before the Melech Malchei Hamlochim and communing and speaking with him. So we do that in the most reverential way. We'll be talking more about specifically Amidah in the future as well.